Somebody has locked and loaded their pants cannon, but David Caruso is going to pull his finger to catch the criminal. CSI, Past Gas.
So what do we got?
Well, Horatio, we've got a complaint from this school that someone has been disrupting class with a noxious emission.
I guess whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Something stinks and is clearing out the room on CSI, Past Gas.
This kid's admitted to being responsible for his boo-boo belly, and he wants to cut a deal.
Oh, like the way he cut the cheese?
The crime is silent, but deadly. On the next CSI Past Gas.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk stage. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Everything has a beginning, and Back Time remembers the beginnings that had their start on November 26th. On this date in 1789, President George Washington declared the first Thanksgiving Day. Today in 1942, Casablanca, starring Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, premiered at the Hollywood Theater in New York. And in 1998, Hulk Hogan announced that he was retiring from pro wrestling and would run for president in the year 2000. Whatever happened to that? That's Back Time for November 26th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinny Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. In honor of the holiday, here are a few things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz aren't my parents. They named their kid Bronx Mowgli after their favorite New York borough and their favorite Disney character. If my folks followed that logic, my name would be Staten Island Dumbo. I'm also thankful I'm not having Thanksgiving with Paris Hilton's ex, Benji Madden, because when it's his turn to say what he's thankful for, it's going to take an hour and a half. I'm thankful I don't work for a moving company in Chicago. I'd hate to be responsible for getting all that hope and change to Washington. I'm thankful I'm not on the International Space Station and have to drink water converted from my pee. It's bad enough I have to eat grandma's gravy. Lastly, I am thankful I'm not Idiot of the Week Axl Rose. It's going to take as long to pull out those stupid cornrows as it did to put out Chinese democracy. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
An area man is always picked last for employment. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Local man Josh Gruder has watched helplessly for years as others are hired ahead of him for paying jobs. Today, Gruder publicly admitted the dread he feels at every job interview, knowing he will be passed over yet again in favor of more competent peers.
Well, when I do get a job, they usually just put me in the back where I can't do any real harm or bankrupt anything.
Gruder added that the last time he was picked for a job as a hedge fund manager, the other employees always beat him up on his lunch hour. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Tofu-eating Thanksgiving vegetarian.
Mr. Tofu-eating Thanksgiving vegetarian.
Yes, thanks to you. Grandmothers across the land will soon be asking, would you like white meat, dark meat, or a beige-colored cube of steamed bean curd?
We'd like to beat you with a drumstick.
And Mr. Tofu-eating Thanksgiving vegetarian, because you won't touch the turkey, you feel it's well within your rights to devour the entire platter of mashed potatoes.
And
hey, doofus, gravy contains turkey drippings.
We made you eat some.
So before you take that tryptophan-induced power nap during the football game, unbuckle your pants and salute to the girly man chewing on alfalfa sprouts, Mr. Tofu-eating Thanksgiving vegetarian, a real American hero.
Mr. Tofu-eating Thanksgiving vegetarian.
For the last time, there's no real meat in mincemeat pie, okay?
Now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is Wednesday.
Happy
happy almost Thanksgiving.
Yes, November 26th means the day before Thanksgiving.
I really like today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, huh? I mean, we had rain finally.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
About time.
A fucking rainy day. And so it looks like winter outside.
Although I will say I was very glad for the rain last night and everything while I was falling asleep because I just love the sound of it, like trickling down.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
It really, really is.
Yeah,
I love it.
I like that, I know.
But then this morning I wasn't so thankful as, you know, I'm dressed up because I've got to go do a photo shoot after the show. And, you know, I'm wearing my boots and I'm walking down the hill carrying a big bag of clothes to change into. And I fucking slip and fall, like,
oh,
down the hill,
God.
Ripping my goddamn dress.
Oh, Susie, did you hurt yourself?
Only my pride.
Oh, no, you didn't fall on your knees or something?
No, I just fell, and I was holding like a wine glass, not full of wine. Calm down.
So why were you holding a wine glass?
Because all the other glasses were in the dishwasher, and I made my smoothie this morning, my blueberry and skim milk blended smoothie, and I didn't have time to like drink it at the house. I'm trying to carry that down the hill. So I spilled that all over myself. I ripped my dress. My dry cleaner and my neighbors are all watching, and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? And like all the cars driving by are kind of like, you know, slowing down to see, like, if I'm going to get up.
Wow, what a way to start the day, Susie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Actually, that reminds me of a funny story. Can I tell you quickly?
Sure.
Okay.
We've got 2 hours.
When I was in my family for my grandparents' 50th anniversary, went on a cruise for a month in Alaska. And so I was 16 years old, and I didn't really want to go because, you know, it's your family, and you're kind of, I don't know, at 16, you're like, I don't want to spend time with my family. Like, what the fuck? You know, it was my vacation. I wanted to do something else. But so anyway, I met this boy on the cruise, of course.
Well, naturally.
Naturally, there was a boy. His name was Dave. And I don't know, he kind of became my cruise boyfriend. And so this one night, everyone had to get really, really dressed up for dinner. We were having like our family portraits on, like, you know, I don't know. But so there was the top level of the ship, and there was like this grand staircase that was carpeted that went all the way down to an area where everyone was having cocktails and like wine and cheese and things like that. Uh-huh. And so I looked fabulous. I've never looked so good in my life.
Really?
As I'm at the top of the stairs, my hair is done, my makeup's done, my outfit's fabulous, I'm in these great sexy heels. And all of a sudden, I see Dave at the bottom, and I'm at the top of the stairs, and I'm like, hi, Dave, and I start waving my sexy little, like, couple-finger wave, and he sees me, and he's like, wow. I turn and take one step to go down these stairs. Uh-huh. They're so goddamn slippery that my feet go whoop, and they slip up in front of me. I went all the way, like, all the way to the bottom of the stairs.
How embarrassing.
But I get to the bottom, and, like, my skirt or my dress was, like, all the way, like, lifted up, like, kind of, like, almost to my boobs. I'm sitting there with my thong, and I'm like, oh. And the worst part was that Dave, he looked at me and he turned around and walked away.
Really?
He didn't even come up and be like, are you okay? He was so embarrassed.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow, I can't believe. Well, you were young. I mean,
I know, I was young, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Isn't it still embarrassing?
He obviously didn't think much. Yeah.
Damn,
it is.
Fucker. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I mean, when kids trip and fall and stuff, it's not a big deal, you know. I mean, they're, like, close to the ground. But when
I was, like, 5 foot, like, 12 with the shoes on that I was wearing.
Really?
You know, I wasn't too close to the ground.
Yeah. No, I know, no. But that's what I'm trying to say is when an adult falls, it's, like, a big deal, you know.
Yeah, I know. I could have broken a hip or something.
Yeah. And it just looks weird when an adult, like, sort of, like, collapses.
I know. It's like, walk much? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, are you getting ready for the trip to Vegas?
Oh, yes. It's actually been a little bit overwhelming. I haven't even done any preparation for Vegas, and I'm leaving tonight, and I'm running out of time, like, seriously.
Yeah. Well, what preparation do you need?
I have to pack. My dad's going to kill me because, I hope actually he's not listening, because probably about last April, I went to have my car filled up with gas at a gas station, and I had them, like, check the tire pressure and, you know, check all the fluids and everything. And so they ended up losing one of the caps in my car.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, what they were telling me was that they lost the cap and they couldn't find it. They, like, dropped it somewhere in the engine. And they're like, oh, you know, just replace it when you get a chance.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, you guys lose it. Now you tell me I have to replace it. That doesn't seem right, but whatever. And I thought it was just the windshield washer fluid. Turns out it was the coolant. Cab.
Oh, wow.
So the coolant's been evaporating or disappearing since April, and I've been happily thinking it was the windshield washer fluid, and I almost ran out of coolant the other day.
Wow.
But when I went to get my oil changed, the guy was like, hello, sweetheart. Like, is anyone in there?
Wow.
But so I took a plastic bag and
but
a rubber band.
But it's taken since April for it to evaporate?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's a long time.
I know. I couldn't believe that. Like, my engine should have, like, dried up by now.
It should have, yeah. the car would have exploded or something.
I know, seriously.
Overheating.
but yeah, my dad, like, he specifically like, yelled at me last time I was in Vegas because he saw the Ziploc bag with the rubber band that I had used as a as a new lid. And he's like, Suzanne, you know, they're like $5 for the
yeah,
cap.
Why is it so hard to fucking buy one?
Because I have to go all the way to like a Mini Cooper dealership, and the Mini Cooper dealerships are not like in a convenient location for me, yeah. And no one else sells the caps.
Yeah, but excuse me, since April, I think you could have found 5 minutes.
Do I have 5 minutes ever? No.
I suppose not.
I'm very busy on Facebook. Leave
yes,
me alone.
I know. So what do you do on Facebook? I mean, do you go and find out what other people do?
I look and see what other people are doing. I stalk people, you know. Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I just go in. I'm only interested in my profile and my my homepage. And that's it. You know,
That's not really the point of it, though.
I know, but I don't have like specific people that I want to know what they're doing.
Yes, you do. You know, you want to know what I'm doing.
No.
You always like seeing my pictures that I post.
Well, but the pictures are there. You know, I mean, it's not like I seek them out. You know?
Well, if I didn't post them, like, you don't have to look at them.
No, that's true. But I mean, you know, how can you not? You know, I mean, you're like there and
naked.
Like nude with another chick, you know.
Oh God!
And then there's some picture there that I couldn't even figure out what it was.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you guys were so enmeshed into each other.
The one with like the hair all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, with the hair.
Those are just like our titsy or our titsy. Wow, if that was in a Freudian slip, I don't know what was.
Yeah.
Artistic. Or maybe I'm a little autistic today. I don't know.
Is the ADD working again for you?
Yes, yes, yeah. That it is. Oh, sorry.
So now, are you taking medication for ADD or are you
not? Yeah, no, I'm on my Adderall.
Really?
Yep. Oh, I didn't take it this morning. I'm waiting until later in the day to take it.
Oh, you only take it once a day?
Well, I'm planning on taking a lot of it tonight for the drive.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to be tired and it'll wake me up and focus me at the same time. So yeah. I'll be happily driving along, cracked out of my Adderall. And I don't know, my heart starts to hurt if I take too much of it during
yeah,
the day.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck with the drugs and everything? I mean you have to abuse everything that comes near you.
Well, that's why I'm not taking it today, like during the day. I'm saving it for the evening.
Yeah.
See, I'm being an appropriate drug user. You're
planning. That's addiction.
That's not addiction.
Planning,
I know.
You're planning taking the drugs.
I know. They're prescribed to me. I'm supposed to take 2 pills of them a day.
Exactly. And how many are you going to take?
Probably only 2 this evening.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's not a lot.
No, it's not a
I
lot.
You're talking about like taking 3 or 4, you know?
Well, if I take that many, I'll crush some of it and snort it. That way it gets absorbed directly into my bloodstream because it's time release if you take it orally.
Really?
So.
Yeah, God forbid.
So if I ever have to like do like a major study sesh or something, I'll just crush up a whole bunch of it and I'll just be snorting it all night.
You're crazy.
I know. What can I say?
Yeah, what can you say?
Don't like the
just
drugs,
accept
but
yourself,
the drugs
right?
Like me. Don't like the drugs. Actually, I was just going to say, speaking of drugs, you know, I was on a little bit of ecstasy during that photo shoot with my roommate.
Right, last weekend.
Last weekend. And so the people that I work for in Malibu, so I went to the house yesterday and I was like, so, did you guys see my photo shoot on Facebook? And they're like, yes, yes, very interesting. That's our nanny. Yep, she takes care of our small children as I've got like the 4-month-old like on my chest.
I know.
And then like the day kind of went by, you know what I mean, and it got to be later and later. And then it was happy hour, so we're all drinking and, you know, we're still doing the preparations for their trip, I'm helping them pack and taking care of the kids and cooking pies and things like that. And then finally they were both like, okay, we gotta know. And I was like, gotta know what? We gotta know how much ecstasy were you actually on and during that photo shoot?
Wow.
And I was like, no.
So they knew.
I was like, you could tell.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like,
Susie, you can tell. I mean, your eyes are just like, you know, in your face. It's just, you look like you're fucked up, you know?
All right, well, I beg you to tell the difference, and I'm going to make a little bet with you. From the photo shoot I do today, this afternoon, and this evening,
right.
I want you to see how my eyes look in comparison to how they did last time.
Okay.
Because I will not be fucked up during this.
Okay. Let's take a phone call real quick. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
My homepage.
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Yes.
Am I live or no?
You're on the air, sir.
Oh, they got a delay here.
Yeah, you got to definitely turn down your computer there.
Yeah, turn down the radio or whatever you've got back going on.
Yeah, there is a delay. Yes.
Who is
hey, guys,
this?
Call you from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And what is your first name?
Oh, Steve.
Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up? What's up? I just found your show about a week ago, and I'm like addicted.
Thank you very much, man.
I love it. I'm in the same tribe as you, Sam.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're a JOO.
Yeah, same tribe. Yeah, we're there.
I love Jews.
I like how you describe.
Susie, you gotta try J Date.
I know. Sam's supposed to be paying for my subscription to J Date.
I've really been slacking.
You know what? It's because he's cheap. Are you cheap, Steve?
No. just worm out the losers. Though. You gotta make sure about these. You know, the creeps. You gotta meet them in public.
Yeah.
Really?
Meet them like at a Starbucks or that one coffee shop you guys were talking about last night.
Healthy Bean.
Well, Susie doesn't know how to do that. She's got to get a massage on the first date.
No, and also Susie's
a beautiful shiksa. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. There you go.
She's a queen.
Yeah. She's definitely the queen. Definitely.
Susie, I like this other picture you put up. I didn't like the original one.
Wait, which picture?
On LA Talk Radio. Doesn't do you justice.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. No one likes the picture on the opening webpage.
Oh, really?
No, it's like your hair just can't, you know, it's like you just woke up, and, you know, the other one's cuter with the, next to Sam, with Sam
with a pink t-shirt.
Actually,
stuff.
Neither of those pictures actually look like me at all right now. Steve, are you on Facebook?
No, actually, I think I am, but I gotta change the, you're on there, right? Are you under your real name? Or?
I'm under my real name, Susie, S-U-Z-Y, Raleigh. And if you look up Facebook, you could see some pretty fabulous photos of me, if I do say so myself.
Very racy.
Susie, I love your stories.
She's definitely the storyteller. Yeah.
keep listening to Sammy's and send you in the right direction.
Really?
You ought to be, oh, come on. I can't believe the creep you're going out with. It, like, blew my mind.
The Franz?
Yeah, the guy did going in the garbage dump. Come on.
You see, that's how much he values himself.
You know, you probably hang around, you know, with the little girl mafias. You went out in the Malibu Beach. Come on. You got that guy?
You know what, Steve?
Don't they set you up, Susie?
I do have a lot of other different friends in my life that are very well established, and, you know, I hang out with a lot of really good crowds as well. But that was just a momentary weakness.
You went to the penthouse party, right?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
That was actually unbelievable. There were just, you know, a lot of these parties, they claim it's like a penthouse party or a Playboy party, but this actually was a penthouse party, and they had, you know, all the pets there.
Yeah.
Because a good friend of mine makes glass, the phallic glass, you know?
Ooh, I have one of those.
The toys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we went to the show in Vegas. And, you know, went to his booth. It was awesome. All the pets were in the booth. Jenna Jameson was there for like a half hour.
Oh, nice.
You
got
to go to that show, the adult show in Vegas, usually in January.
Yeah. Okay. Next to the CES show, yeah.
You've got to go. You'll just love it.
Are you going
to
be there this year?
I'm going to try. I had an accident. I tripped Vegas a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I'm still mending. I broke my hip, and it was a long story, but. I love Vegas. We used to go 6-7 times a year.
I'm actually headed there later this evening.
Your dad lives there, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you see, he knows everything about you.
Planet Hollywood's a high hotel now. Everybody's there.
You know everybody there?
No, I'm saying everybody goes there now. That's the hot spot.
Planet Hollywood, I mean, it's definitely... That Planet Hollywood failed in many cities. So it's interesting you're mentioning
Vegas. No, this is a hot spot. Vegas is totally dead right now. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
And that's one of the hotter hotels. Clooney goes there all the time, and, you know, superstars. I mean, anybody can be there anytime. If there's like a big fight, like last week, a lot of people show up.
Yeah.
You know, I was...
You're Stern follower, right, Sam?
I'm sorry?
Stern, Howard Stern.
Oh, yes. Big fan.
I love him, too.
Yeah, cool.
And he's always talking about Planet Hollywood.
Oh, he does? I never heard him talk about it, but if you say so, yeah.
Susie, you got to go over there this weekend.
Yeah, is that the one at Caesar's Palace you're talking about?
No. This is Planet Hollywood, the hotel Planet Hollywood.
Oh, hotel? I didn't even realize that.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's the newest hotel with the hottest, you know, dance club right now. I mean, everybody, Susie, you'll get in.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out, Susie.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Sam, I don't know about you and I. They might not let us in.
Yeah. Why? Because we're too Jewish for them.
Yeah, right. No, no, no. You'll be escorted by Susie. You'll walk right in.
Yeah, there you go, man. She opens up doors, let me tell you.
Susie will wear her little short skirt, and it's like automatic.
There you go, man. There you go.
Susie, stay away from the fences. You got to be careful.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. You're pretty much reciting our shows for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I told you. I listen every night. It's like, it's incredible.
Wonderful, man. And if you are Howard...
Are you calling or what?
Oh, my gosh. I totally want to. You know what?
Did you apply yesterday?
I don't, but I have the phone number with us. We should call
you
and see.
You got the voice. You got a voice. You're automatic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Steve. That's really sweet of you.
All right, Steve. Busy. I just want to call in from Chi-Town.
Thank you very much,
like 30,
man. We appreciate
it. It's like 30 degrees. You guys probably have 80 degrees. Very depressing.
Not 80. No,
it's
we
like
have about 60.
Right now, yeah. And it's a little rainy, but we kind of like having not so nice weather all the time.
Yeah, we were looking forward to this. Steve, thank you so much for calling,
hey,
man.
Sammy Zygesund.
Yes.
Have
absolutely.
A happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care.
All right.
Bye. Well, another
that was
fan.
Nice.
Yes.
I love hearing all of our fans. No, it's really cool. Really cool to know that people actually listen.
Excuse me, Susie. We've been doing this for, 3.5 months now?
I know.
Okay, do you think people are not going to listen?
No, well, I know. I mean, just, all the good feedback that we just keep getting, it's amazing.
I know. Yeah, well, the more listeners, the more people that write in and shit.
I know. It's pretty cool.
But this thing's exploding, and we're putting up every show that we do on iTunes as well, so you can download it directly from iTunes.
That's so cool. Because that makes it so much easier. People can put it on their iPod and listen to it in their car.
Right.
That's what's so
but
amazing.
But you can put it on your iPod even if you just download it from the site, as the MP3 from the archives, and just burn it to your iPod through iTunes.
I know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
It's fucking awesome.
I know.
You know what? You know what we should do when we're done talking to this first author?
Mm.
I have the phone number for the phone sex operator.
Uh-huh.
Can we call in the air and just hear what
they... To the operator?
Yeah, to call. Call the number and hear what they have to say.
Okay.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah. But you're not going to get through to anyone before you pay.
I don't think I have to pay. They're paying me.
Oh, you mean to apply for the job? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to call a line where a chick is going to answer.
No, I want to hear what they say the job's actually going to be like.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, well, we'd have to get their permission to be on the air. But we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll do it in a few minutes. Listen, before we call the author, I wanted to play something that I stumbled onto. Do you like you like James Bond, right?
Love James Bond.
Now, the theme music is perfect for James Bond, for the movies.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say? I mean,
absolutely.
So what I found, I went looking for some versions of it, and I found one that is a group of about 5 chicks, hot chicks, okay?
Yeah.
So I invite you to go to YouTube and see this, although I'm going to play it myself, so turn it on without the sound, and you can see it's an awesome video. It's a live performance with these chicks. They're called Bond, and it's live at the, some kind of Philharmonic Hall in London or something, and they play the theme from James Bond, and I think they're doing a tremendous job. So just go into iTube if you want, and iTube? No.
iTube,
I always call it iTube.
It's really funny.
Well, iTunes, iTube. Okay, YouTube, and look up Bond, James Bond theme, and you'll see them. So we're going to play this for a couple minutes. We'll be back, and we'll talk to our author.
most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real with 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, you were too busy. You didn't even listen to it.
Me?
Yeah.
Did
you listen
too.
To it?
Yeah.
Didn't you think it was cool?
It's gorgeous.
It's like in a big hall and stuff, you know? And they and these chicks play like these ultra-modern looking violins and shit. You know, they don't even look like violins almost. It's a pretty cool show. So, yeah, find it up on YouTube. It's not iTube, it's YouTube.
Okay. I know, now, and then you just told me to look on MySpace, and I'm looking at MySpace, and I'm like, I'm not even friends with you on MySpace.
I know.
Like, are you even on MySpace?
Well, sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, it's like you're distracted, and you don't even pay attention to what you're saying.
I know. I've decided I'm going to create a social network called MyFace.
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 Yeah. Actually, that's a good one. Yeah.
I know. Wouldn't that be funny?
MyFace,
it could be
yeah.
a combination of, like, Facebook and MySpace.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think MySpace is still only relevant for artists and comedians and shit like that. I mean, more and more people are moving to Facebook, you know?
I know, but there's still like there's still people that are just really stuck on MySpace.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just like, they're not willing to like move over to Facebook. But once they do, mm-hmm. it's all over. Then they're just like, oh, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook.
I know. Because Facebook is cleaner. I mean, you can find things, you know? It's like you go on MySpace and a page takes 10 minutes to load because they've got just about any video and every fucking song on there that has to load before you can see the page.
I know. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah. So I try not to go on MySpace at all, you know.
Do you even have a MySpace?
No, I don't. But
well, then how would you go on it?
Because people send me links, you know, so you go and see the public page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Gotcha me?
Gotcha. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay.
I'm catching what you're throwing.
So let's call our author. Now, what book are we looking at today?
Actually, it doesn't even tell us what the author's name is, but we're looking at Frommer's 500 Places to See Before They Disappear, which is really sad. Oh, this book makes me sad.
Why?
Because these places are going to disappear.
Yeah, well, we got to find out exactly how. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
You know, I'm doing a chapter right now in my biology class in the biosphere, and basically with all the climate changes and with the overpopulation, you know what I mean? We just keep driving our gas-guzzling SUVs, and you know the atmosphere is really changing. Like the Arctic, the poles are disappearing; they're melting,
yeah.
Which is going to change like the trade winds, which is going to change like the plankton and everything in the sea when the mm-hmm. water get when the water the first photo layer mm-hmm. of the water gets too warm. That's going right.
to and the just, water currents and
the
shit.
Water currents, yeah. And then like the coral reefs are going to die. I mean, and then all of a sudden we're going to be left with like nothing to eat.
Yeah.
And then you know the grasslands are going to disappear, and then the cattle aren't going to have anything to eat, and then mm-hmm. we're going to turn into like one
now,
big
this
dust
is doomsday.
Bowl, and we're going
to
die.
We have to go there?
We're going to die, Sam. We're spiraling out of control.
Yes, we are.
So you need to buy a hybrid.
Well, I don't want to die, Susie.
I don't want you to die either. And I want to have children, and I want them to live on this beautiful earth.
Okay.
And I want them to be beautiful and fabulous like me.
All right. 500 places to see before they disappear. The
we're going to die.
The author... Do you think she's... Excuse me. Do you think she's going to want to come on the air after you tell her this?
She agrees with me.
Oh, okay. Holly Hughes, and we're going to call her, and guess where she is?
New York.
New York is correct. It's not even funny anymore, you know?
I know. Everyone's probably like so sick of us saying, oh, really? You're from L.A.? Wow, no one's from L.A. Oh, really? The author's from New York? Cool.
Yeah. Is this not dialing? What the hell happened here?
I don't know.
Yeah, Susie, I mean, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. You're the one with all the controls over there. How come I'm getting all this shit?
Because I have to blame it on someone.
Well, you can't blame it on me. I'm sitting over here in my own little world in my really cute ripped dress.
Yeah.
With blueberries on my hand.
Yeah, I know. You're a mess.
But I look good.
You need to do your nails.
Shut up.
I've meant to tell you that.
Hello?
Good morning. Is this Holly?
Yes.
Hi, Holly. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I imagine we're calling you in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're not surprised because all the authors we talked to seem to be from New York. And yesterday we had someone from the West Coast, and that was...
It was a big shocker.
It was a big shocker, yes.
But actually, Holly, Sam lied because when he asked me how I... Or when you asked how I was doing, he said we're doing well, but I'm not doing well. Your book is depressing me.
Okay.
Well, oh, no.
I bet you nobody ever told...
it depress me.
Yeah. Nobody... I bet you nobody said that to you before. So let's hear why, Susie. Tell her.
Well, you know, your book is very appropriate for me right now. I'm in a biology class, and we're doing a chapter on the biosphere and mm-hmm. how the climate is changing and how basically we're ruining the Earth and how it's not going to be the same if it is at all in many years.
Well, I tried to... in fact, as I was going through this, I got less depressed because I found so many examples of nature reserves and animal parks that were actually... preserving species and restoring ecosystems.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, so let me ask you this. Have you been to all 500 of these places to write the book?
I have not.
No. It would have been nice if you could, huh?
Yeah. And to get to all 500 in a hurry is even a tougher job. But many of them were recommended to me by, you know, this is published by Frommer's, and they have this great core of writers all around the globe, and I sent out an open letter to them saying, tell me what things need to be in this book, what things do you really feel passionate about preserving, and I got a flood of letters, you know, and from them very vivid, detailed first-person accounts of what it's like to be in those landscapes and, you know, exactly what the issues were, so... you know, through them, I feel like I've been everywhere.
Right. Now, how do places disappear? Give us an example. I mean, Susie brought up climate and so forth. How else do these places disappear, or monuments?
Some of it is just, you know, natural. You know, the Great Plains that used to stretch across this country were settled, and you know, things were turned into farmland. What we didn't realize is at the time that we were, you know, mowing down the prairies and putting up cornfields instead was that that was a unique ecosystem. And sometimes it's very well-intentioned when some of that farmland went back to nature. We let trees grow there. Trees got root, and that seemed wonderful. And we kept forest fires out, not realizing that in nature, a forest fire is a good thing because it knocks out one kind of plant in order to make room for other plants.
Oh.
Exactly. Here in California, we actually learned that there's a plant that will not, you know, its seeds will not blossom. You know, you can't actually grow the plant unless it's burned.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's
right.
Interesting.
Those first species.
Yeah. Now, so there are some places that, now how else? You know, I mean, are there like ancient places and stuff that are in danger as well?
Well, definitely. This is a sort of a secondary thing that happens with air pollution, is that it begins to eat away at the stones of wonderful ancient sites like the Acropolis, for example.
Wow.
Another thing is that when we try to dam up rivers, which is wonderful for flood control and for getting hydroelectric power, we often change their course. And, you know, some of that's been a problem in Europe where historic cities were built right on the river because the river was the main transportation link. And
right.
When these rivers flood, it's the precious buildings from the Renaissance or medieval times that get ruined.
That's true.
But without them flooding, you know, we don't have all the silt and all the wonderful mineral deposits.
Absolutely.
That people need for farming and for food.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you checked out, but what about Venice? I mean, do you think it's going to disappear eventually?
I think Venice is a real a matter of grave concern, although they raised the red flags on that a long time ago, and there's been a lot of interesting work going on there. Sometimes there are philosophical decisions about what you do about a place like that. You know, how much do you dam up the lagoon and put underwater gates there to control the flow of it? You know, as you said, you know, some flow is natural and it's good.
Right.
It washes out channels and, you know, and keeps the water flow healthy. So, but you know, I think that a lot of technical work has been done on how to save Venice, but it really is sinking pretty fast. They've got to do something soon.
Really?
It's got to be real. you know, and it's something on that scale, you've got to have real government will to do something about
yeah.
it.
I remember I read a couple of years ago, they were going to do like a whole thing under the water and, you
like
know.
Make a big float.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have all kinds of ideas of how to save it. But yeah, there's an example of something I think that could disappear one day. But, you know, you also mentioned Masada, which is a place in Israel, Susie, right at the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a mountain. And this is sort of like it remained there after 2,000 years of a group of Jews at the time that were surrounded by the Romans. And they decided to commit suicide rather than to get captured. Now, this is like a fascinating
wow.
place to go. And you mentioned it in the book, although I didn't have much time to read it. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, why after 2,000 years of surviving there, does this stand to disappear?
Well, there's a number of things. There was some abnormal rainfall in that area in 2003 and 2004 that weakened the mortar and the stones. This is not a place that was built to withstand a lot of rainfall because it's basically a desert area that doesn't get a lot of rainfall.
So
you know, that was just a weird thing that happened, and the building had not been preserved in the right way to put that off.
Right. But are you saying that all these centuries it didn't rain there? I mean, I would have imagined that if the rain was a problem, it probably would have happened a long time ago.
Not torrential rain. There's been rain, and mm-hmm. it can deal with that. But this kind of rain, the force of the rainfall and the amount of it was really unusual, and that it happened in successive years.
It all comes back to the changing climate, and, you know, if we keep messing
You're
up
right.
the environment,
You're
the rain's
right.
going to keep coming, and it's going to disappear, Sam.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Now, what are some of the places you did go to, Holly?
Well, one of the places that and was really part of the inspiration for the book was New Orleans, and Hurricane Katrina was such a powerful event, and I think it woke us up to a lot of what's going on, you know, throughout this country and what we really need to do to preserve things. You know, I felt very strongly about New Orleans. I did a lot of traveling around the Southwest a couple of summers ago, shortly before I began this book, which really got me thinking about what we're doing with our water resources in the Southwest. You know, how much can we, you know, suck out of the rivers in terms of hydroelectric power and irrigation? Does everyone in the Southwest need a green lawn? And it's such a wonderful part of the country. You know, obviously, people want to relocate there, but how much population can it really sustain?
You're right.
So I put many sites in there from that trip that got me very concerned about what we were doing.
Mm, that's amazing. Now, how long does it take to write a book like this, to put it together?
Because this actually partly grew out of a previous book I wrote called 500 Places to Take Your Kids Before They Grow Up.
Aw, cute.
That's a cool title.
Yeah, that was a good one. But as I was writing this, I think, you know, they've got to take these kids to some of these places because they won't be around when the kids are grown up.
Yeah.
So I would say maybe 15%, 20% of this book was overlap from that. You know, I rewrote, I did further research on some of those sites and used them in here. So I did have that bit of a head start before I got working on this, but it probably took me about 8 months. And remember that I was getting a lot of research handed over to me by Frommer's writers who had already written about these places and wanted me to include them for them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one that you have for God Save the Tasmanian Devil.
And I was so glad that the editors were able to find a picture.
I
put in
know.
Their little critter.
Oh my gosh, it's adorable, but like hideous at the same time. You just want to like.
And it's an awful little scavenger. I mean, it lives off roadkill.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
But you know, there's something nice and contrarian about the Tasmanians. They love their little devils, and it is sad that they. They have this mating ritual where they bite each other's faces, and somehow a very rare jaw cancer
Aww.
Has been attacking just that species, and they spread it to each other by this natural instinct they have for biting each other's faces. You know, the
How romantic.
And so they are dying, not so much because of an external environmental threat, because Tasmania is a wonderful little natural paradise, but then you know, it's just something can ravage a species like this.
Oh,
very
wow.
sad.
So it does have to do pretty much all with the ecosystem and how we really treat the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there is a sobering lesson to be learned here that things change. We live in a dynamic world. I included some places like in Hawaii, the Hawaii volcanoes, or Iceland, which is also a very geothermal landscape. That's always changing.
Mm.
You know, just it's the nature of the thing to change, and you can't expect it to stay the same.
Right, right. Yeah, you give it enough time, and everything changes. Absolutely.
Right. Well, cherish the change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's part of life, you know, and you can't fight it, like you said. You know, there's nothing we can do. We can control, I guess, the way we deal with the environment and interact with it. But you know, I mean, that's a global effort, and who knows, you know. But,
we need to be thoughtful, though, I think, the way we travel and the way we take care of the land that's been entrusted to us.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I envy you for, even if you haven't been to all these places, at least to research them and stuff. It sounds fascinating. It's a rather big book. I mean, 500 pages, that's a lot of places to really go through.
I'm going to start checking them off.
Yeah. There you go. Can you imagine doing your lifetime to be in all 500? Wow.
I will do it.
Yeah? Susie will do it.
Okay.
Holly Hughes, thank you so much. The book is 500 Places to See Before They Disappear. Do you have your own website, or should people just go to...
There's www.frommers.com.
Frommers, okay.
Has further information about it. And I should also mention that I'd love people to go to little independent local booksellers to buy this book if you have any near you, because... That's a dying species too, and we should support them.
You're really right.
You should put that in your book.
Yeah,
the little mom and pop bookshops.
Yeah, but I can see how she'd be.
Record stores.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can see how. You know, yeah, okay, anyway.
You know what, I love going into record stores. I will say the last time I was in one, it was at the Amoeba store in San Francisco,
uh-huh.
And they totally, totally made fun of me, and it was really funny, because I only knew the words to a song, and so I walked in, and I was like, excuse me, do you know where I could find this song? And I was like, in my arms, baby, yeah, and I was doing a little dance, and they were like, no, you know, but why don't you go ask so-and-so over there? So they sent me to the next person, and I was like, excuse me, do you know where I could find this song? In my arms, baby, yeah, and I start doing my little dance. They sent me to 10 different people around the store.
So we could all enjoy your act.
And they were all just dying laughing at me until all of a sudden I get to the last guy and he was like, no, but that was really funny, but there's a computer over there that if you plug in my arms, baby, yeah, it'll come up with the artist.
But you're right, record stores are going away, and but I think bookstores are going to last. Maybe not the mom and pop that you were describing, but I can see how an author would be concerned about these things, you know. But like you said, you know, we have to adjust to change and accept it, you know.
Yeah. It's just nice. You don't want to lose the human interaction of going into a store and talking with someone about recommending books.
Yeah, but I think I said it here a few days ago that I really don't think bookstores are going to go away. Simply because I think people go there for the experience. It's not, you know, it's not just to buy a book, you know. It's the whole thing. So, but congratulations to you with the book again. And everybody go get that 500 Places to See Before They Disappear. Holly, all the best to you and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was really pleasant.
Yeah, it's a cool book, you know. It's like Frommers, they do like travel books.
For Australia already.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You're already equipped and ready to go.
Well, I got the book from the last time that I was supposed to go and I didn't go.
Okay. Now, what's going on with that trip? I mean, are you going?
I'm going.
You're going.
I'm going.
Okay, what is the timetable?
I think I'm leaving Monday, very late. Excuse me. Very late on Monday, December 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe I can come in and do the show before I leave.
Wow, yeah. And then you're going to get there on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah. Well, a day before.
A day before, I think. Yeah, yes. I actually already have a date in Australia, and I've never even met the guy.
Well, why am I not surprised, Susie?
No, it's to the Australian Opera House in Sydney.
Oh, yeah?
It's like a $900 ticket, too. I'm really excited
to
go.
Really?
My girlfriend, this girl, Kira, I ran into her at a party the other day, and she's moving to Australia, so she's going to be there the same time I am, but she's getting there a week after me.
Right.
And so she's like, yeah, this really good friend of mine, he's like super hot, he's going to be in Australia, and he needs a date, but I'm supposed to be there, and, you know, I had to change my flight for whatever reason, so she's like, can I pass the date off to you? I was like, absolutely.
Sure, I'll take him.
I'll take your sloppy
Aussie.
Seconds.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. And then I have two other girlfriends that are going to be there too that I just found out. And then my really good friend Cameron is from Australia. He's an Australian Jew. I never knew there were any of those either.
I told you, Jews are everywhere.
I know.
They're like a disease, man.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back. Hopefully, our guest is here. If not, we'll take another break. But we'll be back right after this.
On your Wi-Fi radio.
On your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Your favorite talk station.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Back from the break. And it's actually raining out there, Susan.
I know. I wish I left my trench coat in Boston when I was there. I wish I had that today.
Yeah. I know. There's no winter clothes to buy here, you know?
Well, I've got plenty of those, but.
Yeah. Well, during the break, we got our guest to come into the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And please introduce yourself.
I'm Yasmin Vine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a burlesque dancer and pole dance instructor here.
Really? Now tell us, what's a burlesque dancer? What do you do?
Burlesque is cabaret-style striptease dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back in the 20s and 30s, before strip clubs were open, people went to see burlesque shows.
Really?
And it was much more theatrical.
Right. I mean, they don't strip down to their to nothing, right?
No. We strip down to...
Pasties?
Well, pasties,
love
yes.
it.
Really? Yeah, Susie's into it already. And pole dancing?
Yes, I used to teach pole dance at Crunch Fitness in West Hollywood, and now I just teach private one-on-one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a pole that you bring with you to like someone's house or their studio or whatever?
No, I teach at studios that have poles.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so Susie went and she tried it last week, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no, I was doing belly dancing when I was there.
That's right. Well, oh, why cool. was I thinking pole dancing?
Because I want pole dancing, I want pole dancing lessons for Christmas.
Right.
Oh, well, I can help
you there
out.
You go.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. Do I get a discount?
Of course.
Fabulous.
So where did you go to learn pole dancing?
I've been just going to classes for the past 3 years.
Really?
And started teaching.
So they
yeah.
actually have classes for this and everything.
At gyms,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also S Factor with Sheila Kelly?
I have not been there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, but I've heard that's a really great school.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been doing this?
Burlesque, I've been doing professionally since 2006.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And how did you get into it? I mean, what made you want to go up there and expose yourself?
Well, I started as a singer, and I was kind of uncomfortable on stage, so I was trying to find a way to be more uninhibited.
Mm-hmm.
And
you found an outlet.
I did.
There you go.
It actually started just by taking, there was a cardio striptease class at my gym,
mm-hmm.
and I started taking the classes.
A cardio striptease class.
That sounds
yes,
like a blast.
With yeah. Jeff Costa. It was amazing. It was so much fun, and I was taking it religiously every week for about a year, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. So then I met this girl who invited me to see a burlesque show, and the lady at the burlesque show offered these classes, this 10-week course in burlesque. And in your 10th week, you would, you know, graduate and you would perform.
Aww.
Yeah. So, and then if you liked them and they liked you, you can continue performing. And that's how I got started.
Oh, neat. Very cool. So you're in like a burlesque troupe, as they call it?
No. It was all individual acts.
Okay, cool.
It's all individual acts. And then shortly after, about a year later, I started singing on my shows too, and then I started producing my own shows. So now I produce burlesque shows.
I want to be in a burlesque show.
Oh, you have to come then. My next show is going to be at M-Bar in Hollywood on December 19th at 10 p.m.
Yeah. I'm gonna be in Christmas then. Well, no, it's fun to just go. I'm gonna be home for Christmas then, so I'll have to come to your next show.
Come to my next show. I sometimes, periodically, every few months, have burlesque workshops and train new dancers.
Oh, my gosh. I totally would love to come to one of those. That would be so much fun.
It is. It's very fun. It's very, you know, it's not about just going up there and taking off your clothes. It's this whole journey of accepting yourself and your body and mm-hmm. loving yourself. I feel like it's decorating the female form and expressing it.
And it's just becoming like comfortable with yourself and like your feminine
yes.
energy and like
yes.
realizing that you are a beautiful, sexy like human being, whoever you are, and just kind of owning that.
Yes, and what's fabulous about burlesque is the woman who taught me was actually a very big woman, and the great thing about burlesque is that it's for all shapes and sizes, all ages. It's not so much conformed to like the tall and skinny people of the
mm-hmm.
world,
right.
as most Hollywood is.
And there are people who actually enjoy that, right? I mean, they don't sit there criticize, look at this chick, you know, she's not that skinny. Or,
no, because the wonderful thing is, you know, burlesque is something that is really from inside, and you have to have that confident and comfort level from inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and that's communicated, and that's expressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on stage and you feel uncomfortable in your skin, it shows,
right.
and for some reason, burlesque dancers, as big or small or tall or skinny or however shape they are, they have that confidence and comfort level, and that's expressed on stage. Yeah. And that's what I teach in my classes, and that's what I've been taught as well.
So it's really a self-esteem boost to you, and self-confidence too.
To me, to my audience, to other girls watching, it's like, oh, I don't have to be a size zero to dance or to perform. And it's just been wonderful. It's been really great.
Are there any men doing that?
There actually are.
Yeah, really?
Well, my cardio striptease teacher was actually a man, Jeff Costa. And then there's a new thing going on called Boylesque. So
Well, they used to have that in Vegas for a long time, Boylesque, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a fun show, too.
Yeah. I lived in Vegas in the 70s, and they used to have that.
Oh, wow.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, but they would do all kinds of impersonations. They were like cross-dressers and stuff, you know, like those female impersonators, I suppose.
Right, yeah. Right.
Now I think they're called Chippendales.
I think so.
But they don't do burlesque.
I know.
It's not about burlesque at all.
My best girlfriend in Canada, her name's Rochelle Bond. She's actually a burlesque dancer.
Oh, wonderful.
And so that's pretty much my only experience having seen shows. But so I used to go up to Vancouver and go check out her shows called Sneaky Kiki's Burlesque.
Oh, cool.
And they just have all different kinds. Like, it's everyone does like their own individual thing, and then they you know, they kind of get together and have like a finale for the show. But they all have like a common theme, and it's just unbelievable watching everyone perform. And they really do just have such confidence and such beauty, and everyone is so unique and so individual.
Everybody's unique.
I mean, it's not like you're going to the ballet where everyone is exactly what you were saying, you know, like the exact, like, you know, body type.
Cookie cutter. Right.
So it really is just a really fun time.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And the great thing is, you know, you create your own act, you make your own costumes, you have a theme. It's very theatrical, and every individual's uniqueness shines through. And no two acts are the same. Everyone's different, and everyone's, you know, wonderful in their own way.
Right. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Do customers hit on you and stuff sometimes?
You know, it's not like a strip club where it's a show.
Right.
It's a different vibe. It's a different
feel. So it is a different vibe. They don't treat you like cheap.
No, right. Not at all. Right. They, you know, I've had, of course, people like give me their numbers and stuff, but that it's not that. It's a show.
Yeah, it's not a rowdy place,
show.
Right?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of the client, you know, customers, clients, patrons, they're men, women, all types of people.
Right.
They're really there to see a show.
Yeah, it is about the show. It's not about sex or anything necessarily.
It's not about sex. And that's the main difference between, you know, a stripper and a burlesque dancer, where a stripper, the objective is sex. And the objective is, you know...
Yeah, see the body parts.
TNA,
yeah.
But we're trying to be polite here.
You could say tits and ass.
Okay, there
show.
We go, tits and ass. The objective is tits and ass, but burlesque, the objective is not that. The objective is self-expression, creativity, sensuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the main
thing. I know,
difference.
I'd find it very sensual, I think.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It's sort of like old-fashioned, you know? I mean, the way they used to do it, you know?
Yeah. And actually how it's burlesque, you know, it stopped in the 1960s when men took over burlesque theaters and turned and said, we don't want the theatrics. Get rid of the boas. Get rid of the rhinestones.
No.
We just want flesh, tits and ass. Yeah.
Boo to them.
Boo to them. And it actually just reemerged in 2000. And right now, there's burlesque dancers and clubs, you know, popping up all over the place, all over the world. I know that in London there's a big burlesque scene, as you said, in Canada. So it's going back.
Right.
That's really great.
You know, Susie, before you came on board, when I was doing the show on my own, I had a burlesque dancer come in, and she spent the whole show with me and stuff. And so I learned a little bit about it, you know, and it was really... So I also realized, I mean, that you guys dress the part, right? I mean, it's part of your life.
Yes.
Right, Susie? I mean, do you notice that?
Yep.
You know, she's got that old-fashioned look and stuff, you know, and the fishnet stocking and everything.
Yeah, and the red nails and the red lipstick. Yeah.
That's
true.
I mean, people make fun of me like, oh, you wear a red lipstick to the gym.
Do you really?
I do, but I don't even think about it. It's like when I'm getting ready, I just put red lipstick. It's off stage, on stage. It's
your costume. Like, that is
all
your,
the time.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a lifestyle for you, I would imagine.
It's a lifestyle.
You know, it's not just you dabble in it or something. I mean, that's fascinating. So why in your personal life, I mean, do you also go dressed like that?
do burlesque. Well, I mean, yeah. I think this is just my style. I just really am fascinated with the style, so I like to, you know, it's just my personal
right,
sense of
you
choice.
Live it.
I was actually, I grew up in the Middle East. I'm
really?
Persian. Yes, really? I was very
well, we're
Muslim.
Neighbors. Yeah, oh, I'm from Israel. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Go ahead.
Okay.
But you were Muslim?
I was Muslim.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean you
oh,
were?
My
You're
God.
Not anymore.
Well, no.
Not if you take it off your clothes. You're not.
No.
Where's your burqa, young lady?
I used to wear burqas.
Shut up, you
I
did
oh
not.
My God, really?
Wait. So where in the Middle East are you from?
Iran.
From Iran, yeah.
Wow.
And it, which yeah. is an Islamic country. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I dated a Persian guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very briefly.
One of the most extreme, too.
Yes, it's yes. a very extreme Persian
right.
Society. People aren't so Muslim, but the government kind of forces it upon
right.
people.
Right.
So I actually grew up there. I went to junior high and high school in Iran.
Oh, I
wow.
see.
Wow.
So you're already an adult when you left?
Yes.
I
was an adult when I was 19, actually, when I came here.
Really? On your own, or did you come with family?
No, I came on my own.
Really?
Yeah.
So your
wow.
family's still there?
No, they actually came 2 years after I...
Okay, I was yeah. going to say, what did you
we
think
We have a very similar
do?
Story. I mean, I came out here at 16 on my own. I
oh,
stayed
wow.
with some family, and then my family joined a few years later. So that's cool. I mean, that
so you know how but, difficult it is.
But especially for a girl and 19 yeah. years old and from an Islamic country.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, I mean, how do you get up one day and decide I'm going to do this?
Burlesque?
No.
No, come to America.
Come to America.
When I was really small, when I was in elementary school, we lived here with my family. That's how I learned English, and I don't have an accent and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we went back. And since I went back to Iran when I was like 11, I'd always like, I want to, you know, grow up and move back to America.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
always wanted to be in the entertainment industry and perform. And that is not possible
no,
in
no.
Iran.
Yeah.
So I had to come back.
Uh-huh.
And so finally when I was 19, I, you know, my dad allowed me and I was able to come to
That's
LA.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what is the entertainment
amazing.
Industry like in Iran?
I don't think there is one.
There is not
Nothing?
One. Yeah. Well, there's actually a huge entertainment industry here. Everything in Iran is banned. It's singing is not allowed, especially
what?
For females. Dancing is not allowed.
Yeah, Susie would die there after a few hours.
No singing?
No singing, no dancing. I used to take this ballet class that was at some lady's house, and it was very underground and illegal, and she'd have live shows, and it was all very, you know, underground.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh, I can't
yeah.
even imagine.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, why do you think Muslims are like that? Do you think they want to control the women? Is that what it's about?
You know, I really am a firm believer that no one can be controlled unless they allow it. So
right.
I'm not saying, oh, it's all the men's fault. I mean, I'm a woman, and I stood up and I said, I don't want to live like this.
Right. But you have to leave. I mean, if they choose to live there, they have to live by the rules.
It's not so much the people, it's the government.
It is.
It's the government. Because right. the people, the men there are not controlling, you know, mm-hmm. women do dress as they please
right.
when they're not outside in the public.
I see.
In the public, you have to wear a burqa. That's
right.
the law. It's like wearing a seatbelt here.
Right. But it's like oppression. I mean, why
oh,
would they
absolutely.
Do that, right? Why would they do that?
Well, according, you know, it's the
Wait,
Islamic
so only
law.
Your eyes are showing?
No, no, no.
I'm sorry, I'm very ignorant with this. Explain
no.
a little more.
No, you wear a headscarf,
okay.
and so you're, you know, you can actually show little bangs.
Ooh,
no, yeah.
You naughty girl, yeah.
yeah, how dare you?
Ooh, she lives on the edge, man.
Yeah, exactly. You can wear a little makeup. But they are allowed to pull you over and tell you to take off your makeup and put in your bangs.
Really?
What?
Just so you know. Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
I swear to God.
So
that's ridiculous.
And who's they? The police?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So that's what they do.
That's
the police
what they
there.
Do. That's what they do. So everything was very... You know, I have to say one thing, though. Going to high school there, you know, we would feel like we got away with something if we had lipstick in our purse. And then here in America, people have guns in their purse when they go to school.
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like you're always trying to get away with something. So
that's a good analogy.
Yeah. So
You would feel like you got away with something with lipstick in your purse.
Yeah.
You know what, actually?
You did. You really did.
I was in the military here.
Wow.
Which was kind of, you know, I feel I was very repressed at the time as well. And but at the same time, when you're a soldier in training, you're not allowed to have makeup or any kind of like personal items.
Right.
They take away everything from you. Mm. And so I just remember we would sneak in, like cover up. Because we had like, you know, hot male soldiers that we wanted to look good for. No one
right,
wanted to
right.
look nasty all the time. So we would try and like sneak our makeup in. And we just felt like so bad. We're like,
yeah.
Oh, she's got makeup in her locker. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, that's high school. That was high school for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how terrible. Now, what about for teenagers as far as like sex life and stuff? I mean, is that like totally prohibited or do people do it?
People do it.
They do.
They do it probably more than they do here.
Really?
But it's all
in high school.
Because when something's forbidden,
yeah,
you just
you
want
really
it more.
Want to do it. Wow.
Yeah.
So they do it in hiding and stuff.
Absolutely.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what if you get caught? I mean, what would they do to you?
You face a lot of consequences.
Really?
Like
yeah.
what?
Especially women, right?
Yes.
Especially women. I mean, they fucking stone them and shit, you know?
Still?
Not
necessarily in
Iran.
Not in Iran, but I'm just saying. Yeah, but
there are places, yes.
Like in Pakistan and stuff,
yes.
you know? And yeah, they do that, Susie.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, this woman just the other, you know, a couple weeks ago, this woman got gang raped and then they executed her.
Her, yes. That's the Middle Eastern
yeah.
law.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You see, it makes a lot of sense. That's why I'm telling you, you know, it's about oppression and control of women. That's just my opinion, but I think that's what that religion is about, you know. But I'm sure there's more to it than the religion. But it's like, you know, I mean, we sit
I'm
here
like
in
horrified.
The West. Yeah,
it's
we
horrifying.
Sit here.
Horrifying. And that's why you could see, you know, that's why, you know, like a turn of what we're talking about, that's why burlesque was so fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, living in a culture and a society where you're oppressed, for me, it's like freedom.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It's much more than just, ooh, dancing and taking off my clothes, for mm-hmm. me,
yeah.
per se.
Absolutely.
So you came here at 19, and your family joined you a little bit later, right?
Yes.
A couple of years later.
Yes.
And stuff. And
college, and
that's where I'm taking classes.
Oh, as you know, there's a lot of Persians there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Persians there. And at first I was very excited, like, oh, Persians. But they, you know, I was taking dance classes and singing classes, and they're all like, oh, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an engineer. So mm-hmm. it was kind of like, we don't live the same life. We're
right.
not in
yep.
the same world. Even now, you know, I'm a burlesque dancer. It's probably the only Persian burlesque dancer there is. So I don't really fit into their world.
You would think there would be more, considering, you know, all the repression and everything. And
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, like you were saying, it's more than just religion. It's a whole cultural family,
yeah.
you know, thinking.
Right.
I just know whenever I'm told not to do something, it's the first thing I do. Like, my family, it's just like, nope, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
Oh my god, you have a radio show like Howard Stern? Oh my god. And I'm like, I'm going to do it even more so. I'm going to be even dirtier.
Yeah. So I guess you would get rebellious growing up like that. Have you been rebellious? Or I mean, you've
well,
had
some
your family
would say
to
this
support.
Is rebellious, what I'm doing
that's
now.
That's true. That's true. It is, actually. What does your family think of this? I mean, do they support you?
No.
Really?
Of course not.
Oh, I thought they
no.
did.
No, I mean, my mom is still upset about it. She's like, I don't want to know if you have a show.
Wow.
Yeah, but she's...
You think you got it bad, Susie. I mean, look
oh,
at
no,
this.
No.
Yeah, another rebel big time.
My dad doesn't even know.
Really?
Yeah. He thinks I'm just dancing and singing.
A dancer.
Yeah. And
you should invite him to one of your shows and be like,
no,
hi, Daddy.
Oh, my God. He would die, man.
See, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then my mom, she won't come to a show, you know.
Yeah.
She's come to seen the shows before. And, you know, I feel like on one hand she enjoys the shows, but then there's like a voice in her head telling her it's bad.
Yeah.
Aww.
So then, yeah, so I think she's conflicted about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about it. I mean, based on your story, I'd sort of like be happy for you, you know,
right.
that you're able to do.
Yeah.
But it is hard when you come from a culture like that. I mean, it's an ancient culture, you know. I mean, people have lived like this for thousands of years, and now you go in there and you break in the mold, you know, and
yes,
you
yes.
know, you're sort of like the black sheep and stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Really?
I'm definitely
do you
black
have any
sheep.
Siblings and stuff?
I do have a sister. I have an
really?
Older sister.
Yeah.
What does she think about it?
Oh, she's very anti. She's very the opposite of me. Very 9-to-5. Very corporate. Very, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's been tough for you. I mean, nobody's really supported you, huh?
I've been very fortunate to have great instructors, great
right.
Friends, great teachers. great people who have supported me. I've been very lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No, not right now. I don't.
Okay, well, we can find you someone.
That'd be great.
We've got tons of listeners out there.
What is it? I mean, there's so many women in town, and they're dying for someone, and they can't find someone.
She didn't say she was dying for someone.
I'm not dying for
someone.
You're
not dying for someone.
Not at all.
And the guest we had
yesterday was... Sorry, I guess I assume.
The guest we had yesterday was not dying for someone.
No, she's not dying for anybody either.
You know, these women are very, like, you know, self-confident, and, you know, if they find a man, they find a man, and if not, like, rock on, sister.
You know, I was in a relationship for a long time, and to be honest, it's been really nice not being in a relationship.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Cool. And what do you do for your personal needs and stuff? Do you you take care of that?
I take care of that.
She takes care of that. See, I mean, she's not repressed at all, this chick.
I didn't say I don't you know, hang out with guys at all. Yeah. I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question. Are you allowed to have, like, vibrators and dildos and stuff in
do you really
Iran?
Think she is?
In Iran?
Yeah.
No.
Do they even sell them there?
No way.
Are you kidding?
No way.
Can you order them online?
No.
What?
No.
So you're telling me none of those women have sex toys?
No,
maybe they
don't.
Brought it in from America or someplace, but
whoa.
You can't purchase it in Iran.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how sad! Yeah. Those poor people.
For you, it would be hell to go there.
I'm going to make it my life's mission to go to these repressed countries and bring sex toys for all.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the Mother Teresa of
of self pleasure.
Wonderful.
You can start calling me Sister Mary Susie.
Okay, we will.
Thank you.
Are like really angry, you know.
I'm today, and I'm the happiest person in the world.
There you go. You know? She's so laid back. And
I have
shit,
no
you know?
Stress. No stress.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's a freedom here. So you know what? I'm fascinated by you because you did grow up in that environment, and there was something in you that told you it's gotta. There's gotta be something better than this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? You had this wild child raging
but,
in you.
But it's also, I guess, a lot thanks to the fact that you did grow up here, so you could see there's something else.
I was very influenced as a young child by entertainers and performers there. Yes.
I mean, how do you possibly go back to Iran after you've lived here? You
it
know,
was
with
very
the
hard. It was very hard. I couldn't live there right now at all.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
Have you gone back to visit at all to see your family? I'm sure you have extended family and stuff there.
I have extended family and friends there. I've been back once many years ago, like probably 7-8 years ago, and I only went for 2 weeks.
Right. Do they like you coming and going or no? Like, do you have joint or dual citizenship?
I have dual citizenship. I can come and go. I just don't.
Okay.
Actually, now...
I don't blame you.
Now, as a burlesque dancer, my mom won't let me go because she says there is a chance that if my pictures are online and if anyone sees them, if the government gets a hold of them, they can kill me.
At least arrest you and shit.
Well, they wouldn't just arrest me. They
really?
Would.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So it's actually very dangerous.
They would
dangerous.
Kill you?
They would.
Yeah. How? Mm-hmm.
Well, now you
probably
see why she doesn't...
to death. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, who the fuck knows, you know?
Or I'd be in jail for a very long time. So I won't even take the risk.
Holy shiza.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to? Shit, you know?
Yeah.
If your family wants to see you, have them come out here.
I do know? Actually miss it. You know, there's things about the country and that I just miss. Mm-hmm. But... I just can't risk it. It's, you know, the police there, the law enforcement there, it's no business. It's no joke. They mean business. It's like, you'll get arrested. They do not joke around. I don't even want to try it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I wish Mo would call, because Mo is from Iran. He's a friend of the show, and he's always got those conspiracy theories and shit, you know, but...
Well, no wonder why now. Now I know. Now I know what's going through his head, and, like, everyone's out to get us.
Yeah. But Iran didn't always used to be like this, right?
No.
I mean, you had the Shah,
yes.
and things were thriving and everything, you know, and then he was just deposed by all these Islamists, and then they took over the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and stuff, and that was a big embarrassment and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's exposing herself a little bit. Susie, she just took off her jacket. Yeah.
Act one.
Yeah. You know, I would ask you to do a burlesque here, you know, but maybe your family's listening.
Are you wearing pasties underneath?
No.
Aww.
No pasties now. Well, but Susie, don't try to touch her boobs, okay? Because we need to respect her. She's no porn star or anything.
I'm being very respectful.
You are.
Aren't I?
You are.
Yes, you are.
I'm having an educational day today. I'm learning about all these different cultures.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a Jew.
Oh.
She's like, oh, so let's go back to that. So now you renounced your Islam? I mean, what did you do?
I didn't do anything. I just.
And stop.
You stopped being
I was,
practicing.
I personally, and you know, the funny thing is my family's not religious at all. Mm. I was. Really? I was the religious person in the family. Yes.
Well, that's why. I mean, that explains it.
I was, you know, doing the prayers three times a day and, you know, fasting during Ramadan. And I was hardcore Muslim, reading the Quran. I just stopped. I just meditate now. I go to the Self-Realization Center. I'm still very spiritual. I have, a lot of faith and spirituality, but my own way.
Mm. What's the Self-Realization
Center? It's a really gorgeous place. It's on Sunset and Pacific Palisades. Okay. It's a meditation center. And they accept all religions.
So. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yes, and it's beautiful. There's a garden there with swans, and people meditate, and I've been going to meditation retreats there. And so...
Could you have to be a member, or can I just, like, walk in?
No, you can just walk in, actually.
Yeah, you would. You would just walk in.
I know. I've always wanted to learn how to meditate. I just always have so much going on in my head, and I'm just kind of like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yeah. You know, I can never actually calm myself down enough.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way, but that's exactly why you should do it. Yeah.
But I find being in a place like that is the only time I've ever come remotely close to trying to, I don't know, calm my soul.
Well, that's why people go there, to meditate there.
It's like a big Zen garden?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly
nice.
What it is.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Sounds the Self-Realization Center.
So now, can you, are you making a living dancing and
I
stuff?
Am.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're teaching and everything?
Mm-hmm. Performing, teaching. I do private gigs, private events. Sometimes I get cast in films and TV shows to, dance. And
awesome.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's what about belly dancing? Have you considered that too?
You know, when I first started, I did. I do know how to belly dance a little bit, you know, just being Persian and all.
Right.
It's just, I can. It's just not my
Not your
cup
thing.
Of tea.
Not your forte.
Yeah. It's not my forte.
Yeah. We had one the other day. I mean, she gave us a dance here, huh, Susie?
It was unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was some belly dance.
Her belly was just like gyrating and shaking, and she was just like, whoa. And I was like, whoa, she's got like a vibration machine like in her body.
Yeah, in her abs.
Oh, God, I couldn't believe that. To have such control over your body is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another thing I want to do for the pole dancing, because that's really good for your core, right?
Yes, it is.
And because, I don't know, I used to do a lot of Bikram yoga and things like that, but I'm very, very, very flexible.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But
you used to do what?
Bikram yoga.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It's hot yoga. You're in a room that's 110 degrees
for
an hour and a half, and you do 26 poses.
Wow.
But my teacher, he used to... You know, he was, I don't know, usually you have a woman or I don't know, different kinds of people. But this guy, he saw how flexible I was, and he started pushing me to, like, reach new heights of flexibility and different poses, which was great. But then I started hurting myself because I was pushing myself too far. Mm-hmm. And so then I started going back to the class, and I'm like, no, you know, I don't want to push myself any further. And then he's like, you're slacking, you know, and he's kind of started embarrassing me in front of everyone else in the class. So,
wow.
I know, he's like, you're not trying, like, why aren't you pushing yourself harder?
Was he trying to be motivating? Was that what
he was
trying
to be motivating, but I was so competitive, like, with myself, having been a ballet dancer as a kid, that I really just, I don't know, I had to stop or else I was going to break my back.
Right. Yeah. But that flexibility is great for pole dancing. There's a lot of gymnastics involved.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So are you a good gymnast, too?
No. No, and that's why it was kind of tough for me, and that's why sometimes learning... The more advanced tricks takes a little more time for me. But I see some of my students and some of the other dancers who are very, very flexible, who had a gymnastic background, they can get tricks much quicker.
No, I had a girlfriend who was taking the S Factor classes, and she would come home like with her like 6-inch stripper pole shoes. Do you wear those?
Yes, I have 8-inch.
You have 8-inch stripper pole shoes? Damn!
Wow. How do you stand on that?
I love it.
Really?
Do you ever like topple over?
No, I'm used to it.
Yeah, I guess you know how to walk in them, right?
I only have heels. I have no flat shoes at all. Yeah.
Isn't that stressful on your feet?
No, actually, my feet, if I can't wear flat shoes, as soon as I wear flat shoes, I get really bad aches in
my
back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm used to.
Yeah, you're so used to the heels.
I'm so used to heels, because I'm short, so it's perfect for me.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. When I wear heels, I'm like 6 foot something, and I'm like, okay, I'm ridiculously tall, and it's kind of weird. So, oh, man. But then do your legs get all bruised up when you're all over the poles? Because my girlfriend would come home, and her legs were just bashed, and she would have her knee pads on with her 8-inch or 6-inch heels or whatever.
Not sexy.
And I'm like, wow, that's not sexy. Your legs are just completely bashed.
In the beginning, you get a lot of bruises, but then your body kind of remembers that, oh, it's okay to do this, so it stops bruising.
Really?
But every time you do a new trick, I actually have a new bruise. I learned a new trick, and I have a new bruise here. But... once you get that trick down, you'll stop bruising. But you definitely bruise in the beginning.
I mean, she looked like she was a battered woman when she would come home.
It looks bad, especially like your inner thighs are all bruised. It's like, what happened?
It looks like she was just manhandled like the wrong way. And you're like, whoa, what did you do last night, lady?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, so that's amazing. So, I mean, do you do it in the bedroom too, like pole dancing and stuff? I mean, do you find it's a turn on for guys?
Yes, is a turn on for
guys. So you have done it.
I have. I do have a pole in my bedroom.
No, wow. You don't.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. You need one, Susie.
I know. My bed's like up in a loft, though, and there's not really any room for a pole, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Put one right over here.
Yeah, exactly.
We should get a pole in the studio,
that's
Sam.
That's true. That's
once I start learning how to do all this stuff, we're so getting a pole in the studio.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Sweet. Now, does it have to be anchored to, like, the ceiling and the floor?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We might have a little bit of a problem with the ceiling. We might have to contact the landlord, please.
Yeah.
And just tell him.
So what? So you have to have it installed in your room?
Actually, they're with pressure plates.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you can take it off.
You can take
easily.
It off, and it doesn't ruin your ceiling or floor.
Wow.
I know. I was watching like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something or whatever that show is, and the parents or whoever have a stripper pole in their bedroom.
Oh, do they? I've never seen that show.
I was watching it when I was getting like my nails done or something.
Uh-huh.
And I know I need a manicure, so stop looking at my nails.
I'm not.
You were looking at them before.
I'm not. I'm looking. At...
Okay. I'll get one this weekend in Vegas when my dad's girlfriend
will. I'm not looking at them. I totally forgot about them.
I just got mine done. Yeah.
I know. Yours look fabulous.
Yeah, she's like so like made up and everything, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm not no schlep today either.
No, you're not. I'm sorry.
That's
yeah.
a beautiful dress.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You see, I'm so used to seeing her. She's become part of the furniture now, you know?
Excellent, excellent. I'll keep that in mind. Just walk all over me, sit on me, might as well.
No, don't take it personally.
I won't.
It's
I
just
won't.
Thanksgiving and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's that have to do with it?
I don't know. We're just like in a good mood.
Oh, man.
So, have you traveled? I mean, have you been places in the world? Or?
I have. Last year, I went to Spain for a few months.
For a few months?
Wow.
Yeah, I just stayed there for a few months.
Really? What do you mean you stayed there? Like some family house?
Yes, I have an aunt there that has a house, and I just stayed at her house.
Oh, really? Where in Spain was it?
Terraviejo?
Never heard of it.
Maybe I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. Yeah.
It sounds like
the right
one.
It was by the ocean.
Yeah?
Wow.
That means like old land or something, right? Terraviejo?
I don't know.
I think that means old land.
Yeah. You're right. It probably does mean something. I know Terra is Earth.
Yeah, so you didn't speak any Spanish when you went over there?
Yes,
that's
and nobody
amazing.
Speaks Spanish. I mean, nobody speaks English.
Oh, wow.
So it was like,
so you had
hola,
to do sign language
hola.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So you didn't pick anything up when you were there?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. That's
I
too
know.
Bad.
I know.
What do you mean picked up something?
Picked up Spanish.
Oh,
I
see.
Talking an STD or something.
Well, yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
My sister and I went
oh, in that case.
That funky itch, you know. My sister and I went to Spain, I don't know, probably when I was like 16 and she was 18. And we spent a month over there. And my sister's bilingual and I speak a little bit of Spanish, but not that much. I have, like, catchphrases that I know. And I'm such an idiot, so I would get myself into trouble. Like, one day, we were walking on the street, and there was, like, a strawberry vendor. And I'm like, oh, fresas! And fresas is strawberries in Spanish. So I walk up to the lady, and my sister was, like, I don't know, way behind me. And she's like, ¿cuántas fresas, like, do you want? How many do you want? And I'm like, no sé. I'm like, you know, diez? 10 kilos? And she's like, yeah. So I ordered 10 fucking kilos of strawberries.
Oh my God.
She's shoveling them into a garbage bag. And I'm like, oh trying to figure God. Out how to tell her to stop. And I can't remember stop. And I'm like, no, shit. And she's shoveling away. And my sister, I'm like yelling for my sister. I'm like, Mimi, come.
Oh no.
So I finally got stopped at like 8 kilos of strawberries. Because I don't know what a kilo is. I mean, now I do since I dabble in drugs. You know?
So, that's how she learned the metric system.
Gram, kilo, okay, shut up. It's so true. But so my sister and I are walking up and down the street, and she's like, you're such a fucking idiot. I had to pay for them all. And we're like throwing out free strawberries to the homeless people. We're like, fresas gratis. That's just one of my little Spanish stories. I learned to keep my mouth shut.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
RSC, the radio shopping club.
And welcome back to the radio shopping club. I'm your host, David. Now, I know that all of you want to protect nature when you have to answer nature's call. Am I right? Of course I am. World sanitation experts say that the best way to do this
is to get rid of flushing toilets. Yeah. So here's your solution. It's the RSC Human Box. Yeah. Just let me fill it up here. There you go. All right. The RSC Human Box is fast and very easy to use. Just step inside like this, drop your drawers, squat down, and... Oh, wow. You know, I shouldn't eat cheese. I'm just kidding you. Come on. I need my cheese. All right. Now, I need to cover up my present, right? So here we go. And voila, I've satisfied my needs and also the needs of a healthier planet. Going green on you. Yeah. That's the RSC Human Box. Order now, and we will throw in the RSC Human Box Scoop absolutely free, which is important because with the holidays coming up, this sucker is going to get full fast. Call now.
RSC, the Radio Shopping Club.
My balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
That's our own Borat.
Yeah.
Well, Thanksgiving is getting a little closer, and we're here in the studio, of course, with Susie. Braless as always.
Thank you.
Wearing a dress. What's the material?
Silk.
Silk.
Yeah.
Okay, silk dress. You can imagine protruding nipples under silk. That's a nice
hot
view. Yes, a nice view.
Thank you.
And, of course, we have Yasmin in the studio.
Hello.
And So you lived in L.A. All this time. Now, what were you doing in the beginning when you just got here?
From Iran?
Yes.
I was in school.
Oh, yeah?
I went to Santa Monica College.
That's
studying
right.
Studying dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's what you majored in, dance?
I did major in dance,
oh,
yes.
Nice.
And then I left Santa Monica College, and I was actually going to study psychology. And I did study psychology for a bit, but then I quit, and I went to Musicians Institute in Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, the artist is in you. I mean,
yes,
you can't
it
take it out, you know?
No, I can't. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried to be like all the other Persians.
I just couldn't do it. You're the odd man out, as they say, mm-hmm. you know? Wow. That's cool, though. I mean, you know, it's like, there's a lot of courage in that, Susie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. You know, you come from that kind of a background and stuff, you know? I mean, for you, it would have... I don't know if you would have been the same person if you grew up in a place like that, right?
Hell no.
Yeah. No, you probably wouldn't.
Absolutely
be.
Not. Yeah. I definitely think your environment changes you.
Yes, it does.
Or creates you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you go there to visit, Susie?
Iran?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give out dildos.
that's
you
right.
You need to do that.
Yeah.
You do.
The ambassador.
Dildos for everyone.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Susie.
A plane full.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like my grandfather is a kind of a missionary. I guess, I don't know if missionary is the right word. Missionary position.
That's the right word, yeah.
No, a missionary. And, you know, he spent his retirement as a retired doctor, like going over to third world countries and like bringing medicine. And I'm going to follow in his footsteps and do the same thing with sex toys.
Yes, you should. Aww. Helping women around the world.
Yeah. How altruistic of you.
I know. He would help them. He would help them with their vaginas and like pap smears and things like that. He was an OBGYN.
And I will help them with their vaginas
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll help stimulate them.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is so exciting.
See, that's what we like to talk about here is vaginas and stuff. Yeah.
I've come to the right place.
Yes. What about you? You like girls sometimes?
Sometimes.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Did you experiment when you were young, probably?
I did.
In an oppressed environment and shit?
Yes.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
How young were you?
Probably like 9 or 10.
Wow.
What?
Wow, that's hot.
What is that? Are you like, that's
actually, that's it's not. It's not hot. She's 9 years old.
Well, like, it was another 9-year-old. It wasn't like a 20-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
So it's like, ooh, it's that's like, a hand under my burqa. Oh, my.
See, I would imagine in the harems, they're all lesbians. Don't you think so?
I don't know.
Where?
Harems.
Oh, probably.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are there harems in
no,
Iran?
Not in Iran, but, you know, in the Middle East there are.
There still are, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like in Arab countries.
Yeah. So the king has, like, all these fucking women and shit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Kind of like Mormons here, right?
Not
Mormons.
Quite, no.
I mean, with their many husbands?
Yeah.
No, I mean
many
wives.
Yeah.
Sorry, my little dream came out.
Yeah, polygamy, Susie.
Yes. No, I think, what is it, polyandry, if a woman has many husbands?
Yeah, why isn't that happening?
It does.
Where does that happen?
It happens very, very, very rarely. There are actually like some nomadic cultures where women have multiple husbands.
Oh, really?
I learned about it in my cultural anthropology class.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, where in Africa?
You know, I don't remember where it is. I'll have to get my notes and like relook at that.
Yeah.
But that did fascinate me for a while, and I was like, hell yeah! I was like, that's
gonna
be me.
I'll do that. Wow.
You have to go visit there.
I know. I would like to see it be a fly on that wall.
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, you probably still remember it clearly, huh? The first time you did this?
I don't remember it clearly.
Really?
No, not at all,
wow.
actually.
Do you think it's, well, not necessarily suppressed. It's just a long time ago, right?
Very long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're just curious, and then, I don't know, you kind of got to figure things out and explore.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever, like, hooked up with a girl before, like, my boarding school.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's what you said, yeah. But then she was, like, full-on lesbian for a while.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a. Yeah. We were lugs. Lesbians,
out of necessity.
Lesbians until graduation. I was at an all-girls school.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was wonderful. But yeah, so I never like ended up like hooking up with girls or like or even like playing doctor with them. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I was just like a pervert with myself, and I wanted to like go be naked, and I would do strip teases on like the side of the street for the cars that were driving by. I'd be hiding in the bushes, and I would take my clothes off, and then I would just do my little like dance. And I'm like do 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 do, and then I'd run back into the bushes and hide again. I would just like flash all the traffic.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
know.
Such a slutty exhibitionist.
Thank you,
you
know? Thank you.
Burlesque would be perfect for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I bet you it would, huh, Susie?
I know, I know.
You should start getting into these things and less wine.
Excuse me.
Less Facebook.
Excuse me. Facebook. All right. Facebook, I could do without a little bit. Wine, no. I'll have to have a little bit of wine before I go on and do my show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you on Facebook too?
I'm on Facebook, yes.
Cool.
We'll have to be friends.
Okay.
Yeah. So how do people find you?
Either on Facebook, Yasmin Vine, or on MySpace, mm-hmm. Yasmin Vine.
Right. Now, that's a last name you probably made up, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Because otherwise it's probably like blah, 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 blah. No?
No, no, it's I mean, Arshia, actually.
Arshia?
It's not that.
That's not bad.
No.
Arshia is a nice name.
Yeah. Yasmin Arshia, so Yasmin is your real name?
Yasmin is my real name. Yeah. Okay, stage cool. name is Yasmin Vine. Yes.
Yeah. Yasmin is a very popular Persian name,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. It's yeah. a very popular Persian name.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. It's really pretty. I like it.
Thank yeah. you.
But it's kind of unusual. You only have one sister, no? I mean, don't they usually have a lot of kids?
No, no, not really. No. Mm. Two or three is probably normal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. How many people live there in Iran now? Do you
I
know?
Have no idea.
No idea, huh? Yeah. Susie, look it up. No. We don't really care. We don't care that much.
You look it up.
And what are your plans for Thanksgiving? What are you going to do?
I'm actually teaching a private pole dance lesson on Thanksgiving.
Really?
On Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool.
To a porn star. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Really?
Who's the porn star? Maybe we know her.
I don't
well,
think
maybe
she wants,
does. Yeah, maybe she doesn't want to give out her name.
Yeah,
okay.
She doesn't want to reveal her name.
Yeah, that's,
but
yeah.
Tell us off the air.
Doctor patient confidentiality.
Doctor patient, yes.
Stripper instructor confidentiality.
Yeah, something like that.
Something
huh?
like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, and what do you want to be when you grow up?
I think this is it.
So you see yourself doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely. I'm very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something not like modeling or something where you get too old for it and stuff. I mean, that's like for everybody, right? Pretty much. No?
There are older ladies who still do this.
Right.
Yes. But, you know, you kind of branch off into teaching or creating shows or all that stuff.
Right.
I don't know where it will take me, mm-hmm. but it's... I didn't think it would take me to where I am now,
right.
to be honest. I thought I just wanted to kind of get over, you know, my anxiety of performance, and it just kind of took off, and just one thing has been leading to another.
So. And look yeah. at you now. Now that's like, it's your
now
life.
I'm on LA Talk Radio.
There you go. Well, yeah.
You have arrived
look
at
out.
Stardom.
And not only on LA Talk Radio, but on Sam and Susie.
On Sam and on the morning show.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. We Whoa. Have a good time here.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, it's
I
fun.
I think we do,
it's
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really hungry. What about you, Susie?
I was actually just thinking that I was really hungry, too. But I've been on this weird diet, you know, to kind of, I don't know, it's a healthy, health for health reasons for
the
myself.
The flat belly diet?
The flat belly diet. Okay. So to get rid of, you know, so you're eating MUFAs with every meal, which are monounsaturated fatty acids.
Okay.
I just like saying MUFA.
I know, it sounds like an Arabic word.
I'm on
word
the MUFA diet.
I'm on the
yeah.
MUFA
I like
diet.
That.
You know, so you have like dark chocolate for, with, like on a Belgian waffle with raspberries for breakfast, and you're just like, hell yeah. and then like a lot of avocado and things like that, and just different oils and peanut butter. And I love peanut butter.
You see, she's got a one-track mind, and she doesn't mm-hmm. agree with me on that.
Actually, what did someone say to me the other day? Oh, when Lane and I were on our date, he was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, so, you know, he's doing this movie that he wants to like direct and stuff like that, and he's got a budget, and he's like, I already have the DP. And instantly, I know it's director of photography.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know what I mean? I know that.
Right.
But instantly, I'm just like, double penetration. What? What?
Double penetration. There you go.
And he was, yeah. and I said that
I
to
I like
him.
How your mind works.
Yeah, you see, she's well-versed in porno, yeah.
But this is just so embarrassing because, like, my face turned red because I'm like, double penetration. I'm like, no, director of photography. No, Susie, bad. And then, this is another thing. Eric sent me a text yesterday, and he was like, oh, I'm doing a photo shoot, ATM. Like, and it took me a while, and I was like, ass to mouth? He meant at the moment. But so seriously, I sent him a text back. I was like, ass to mouth. And he was just like, what the fuck, Susie? Like, no, no.
Only you would know something like that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good.
Oh, my mind is just absolutely... This show has ruined me officially.
It has, huh?
Yeah.
No, you've ruined the show.
Thank you, dear.
No, you corrupted it, I mean. Not ruined.
No,
it.
I didn't corrupt it. Wasn't it Naughty before me anyway?
Well, there was no Sam and Susie before you.
Well, there was Sam and
yeah.
Manu.
Yeah.
That's it. That word, her name sounds like manure.
No, Manu, it's an Australian name.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of. She was like the natives, not the... whatever, you know.
The natives?
Was, yeah. You
like
know,
the kangaroos?
No, not the kangaroos, but the... why am I forgetting what they're called? Anyway, people know what I'm talking
Aborigines?
About. Aborigines, thank you. Well, not them, but there was like another... like different tribes and stuff in Australia and that, so... yeah,
oh, cool.
So that's, yeah. But... yeah, so that was then. Well, why are you even asking me about that?
Who cares? Because I thought the show was dirty with her.
No, it's never been as dirty as you.
Shut up. No,
you know, I don't know how it was, but we'd always end up talking about shit, you know? I don't know why.
Because of her manure. Name, manure. Yeah.
That's mean.
I don't know. You said you guys always talk about shit. Maybe it just comes up naturally. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But,
so it was never as dirty as with me?
No.
She's really? Proud. No. She's
oh,
very
Sam.
Happy.
Yeah. That's the nicest thing you said to me all morning. Thank you.
Oh, man.
I'm beaming. I just had one other question for you. Do you know someone named Susie Gunn?
I don't.
She's a burlesque dancer that the guy, Lane, who I just started seeing,
mm-hmm.
He actually is really good friends with her, and so he just sent me a message on Facebook being like, ask her if she knows Susie Lane, because she's a burlesque person. Uh-huh.
I guess is that her stage name?
I don't know.
Right.
I met her very briefly at the penthouse party the other night, mm-hmm. But she was really busy. We kind of had like a little bit of a burlesque show going on there,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. So she was really busy like working behind the scenes with that. So I'll see if I can talk to her more next time.
Okay.
Yeah. And Yasmin, so what's next for you? You said you have a show coming up
Have a show in Hollywood.
December 19th.
December 19th. It's a holiday Christmas show at 10 o'clock at M-Bar in Hollywood. And M-Bar is on Fountain and Vine at 1253 North Vine.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And is it going to be only you or is it like a whole show?
Oh, no. It's a show that I'm producing. I have several performers. I have about 15.
Oh, you're producing it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I produce shows, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to be just a one-night thing? Or
this next show is, yes.
I see.
It's just
okay.
One night, December 19th, 10
December
o'clock.
19th. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody go and see Yasmin there. M-Bar, right?
Yes, M-Bar, okay. 10 p.m.
And, yeah, Susie.
Yes, Sam.
December 19th. How did you remember? I would have never remembered.
Because I'm leaving
was.
For New York on December 18th.
Oh.
Yes.
I see.
To go see La Familia.
So we might as well forget about you for 2 months.
Not 2 months.
Yeah.
No.
A month and 3 weeks.
No, it's not a month and 3 weeks. I'm going to New York for a week, and
right.
then I'm coming back, and then I'm going to Australia for 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Excuse me.
So it's
me.
Like, it's 3 weeks.
And a half.
It's about a month.
Okay.
3 weeks.
Yeah, we're close to a month. Okay. So I was right.
No, you're done.
Okay.
You're
going to lose all your fucking fans.
No, I'm not because I'm calling in from Australia every day and I'll call in from New York. I'm not going away.
Plus,
don't worry.
You'll be on Facebook, I'm sure.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Yasmin Vine, thank you so much for coming
you're
in.
You're welcome.
You've been
I've
great
had a lot
fun.
Of fun. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, definitely. And all the best to you.
Thank you.
You know, I think you're a special, special woman, really.
Thank you.
And you deserve the best, definitely. And Susie, maybe you should take some pole dancing.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm totally going to.
Yeah.
That's what I want for Christmas. All I want for Christmas is stripper pole lessons.
Oh, wow.
Please, Santa, please. I've been a very naughty girl this year. I really deserve it.
Well, maybe she'll give you one, and then if you
definitely.
Like it, you can keep going.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah, so exchange information and stuff.
I definitely will.
Okay, everyone. Well, we're going to take a couple days off, right? Because it's Thanksgiving, and then the day after.
Yes, yeah, so we will see everyone
and,
on Monday.
Monday, and you're going to Vegas, right?
Yep.
And you're staying right here?
I'm staying right here.
And you're doing dancing tomorrow night, right? You said
I'm teaching.
Oh, you're teaching tomorrow
teaching,
night,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how do people get a hold of you in order to take your classes?
We didn't even on my Facebook or MySpace,
myspace.com/, it's actually Yasmin Vine the Mooshes, T-H-E-M-O-U-S-H-E-Z, or if you just go under Yasmin Vine, I'll come up, or under Facebook.
Really?
And you,
what's the Mooshes?
It's,
I mean, why would you put that name in? Nobody would remember this.
I know.
Nobody knows how to spell
it. It was actually
it.
Yasmin Vine and the Mooshes. It's the name of my production company.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
All right. Yeah. So, Yasmin Vine and the Mooshes.
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 How do you spell Moosha?
Mooshes. M-O-U-S-H-E-Z.
Mooshes.
Oh, whoa, okay.
What a name.
Like Moofas. That's on my diet. Mooshes is on my diet.
Okay, and on Facebook, Yasmin Vine, right?
Yes.
So
Yasmin,
if people want to take lessons and all of that, just get in touch with Yasmin.
Yes.
And,
or you can just email me at yasminvine@hotmail.com.
Okay.
Easy breezy.
Yeah. Simple enough.
Beautiful cover, girl.
All right, everyone. So have a great time. Thanks for being with us. And we'll be back here on Monday. Have a great, great holiday.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.